In 1863, a newspaper editor in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, traveled 35 miles to the battlefields of Gettysburg, where 10,000 had died, with over 6,000 in the span of 3 hours, in one of the worst battles in history. The editor went to hear President Lincoln pay tribute to the men who gave their lives and to encourage a nation to embrace the concept of a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the editor of the Harrisburg paper, he was not impressed. Nor was he inspired at all by President Lincoln. The following quote appeared in the paper after he listened to the speech. He said, "We pass over the silly remarks of the president. For the credit of the nation, we are willing that the veil of oblivion shall be dropped over them and that they should no more be repeated or even thought of." Well, let me tell you something. That reporter missed what is now known as one of the greatest speeches ever made, the Gettysburg Address. Far greater than missing the significance of a presidential speech is missing the divine activity of God. Native Americans had a rite of passage for all boys when they turned around 13 years old. On the night of their first teenage birthday, they were blindfolded and taken several miles from camp. The warriors would leave this new teenager alone in a dense, dark forest. He would be forced to stay there and fend for himself throughout the night. The darkness seemed endless as wild animals would howl, the wind would make strange noises, and the rustling of the leaves would sound like an approaching enemy. After enduring a night without rest or sleep, the dawn would finally begin to break. The young teen would see the forest as it really was. Flowers blooming, tall majestic trees swaying in the breeze, wildlife scurrying for food. To his utter surprise, though, he would come to see an imposing male figure just a few yards away. Unbeknownst to the scared new warrior, his father had been there the whole time and was ready to protect the son against any wiles of the forest. No matter what experience we undergo, God stands there with us. Amen? Even when we are unaware of His divine presence and His protection. Amen? Henry Blackaby, the author of Experiencing God, he identifies the failure of recognizing divine activity as one of the great tragedies of Christianity. He says, right now, God is working all around you. One of the great tragedies among God's people is that while they have a deep longing to experience God, they do not know how to recognize Him. We need to consider a couple of principles that can help us to see the hand of God and experience His presence in our lives. If you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 5, we want to consider two principles for experiencing God's hand and presence in our lives. Two principles that can help us experience God's hand and presence in our lives. First of all, number one, if you have a bulletin, then you should have a handout where if you want to take any notes. First of all, we need to anticipate divine activity. We need to anticipate divine activity. We need to be looking for it. We need to be ready for it. In verses 17 and 18 of John chapter 5, Jesus answered them. It says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with him. Henry Ford said these words. He said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. It has much to do with the way you learn to see things, the way you learn to view things. If you don't expect to see God, guess what? You won't. You won't. You got to be looking. You have to anticipate God's activity. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, the writer says, speaking from God's perspective, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. We anticipate God's activity. We will see it. He will reveal it to us. Jesus said in Matthew 7, and verse 7, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. We need to anticipate what God's about. We need to anticipate what he's still doing. And you notice that in those verses that Jesus said that the Father is always working. That means he worked in the past. He will work in the future. And he's working right now. Jesus' followers should look for his activity as we seek his will. We want to understand what his will is in our lives, what God's will is. We need to be looking for him to act. We need to be looking to see what he's doing. And to increase anticipation of God's activity, we should take two steps. Two things. And then to increase our anticipation of what he's about, what his activity is. Two steps. Number one, we need to review his victories. We need to review his victories. Later on in the chapter, down around verse 33, 36 or so, it says, You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Jesus states there that there's a testimony that has greater weight than the testimony of John the Baptist, which is the Holy Scriptures, which is God's Word. By studying the scriptures, we see the hand of God in the history of his people. God called Abraham to a new land. Called him to leave his home and to go to a new land. God chose Moses to lead his people out of bondage. God used David to defeat giants. God sent Elijah to lead Israel to repentance and to follow the Lord. God sent his only son to be the sinless sacrifice that would atone for the sin of the world. So we need to review his victories. And as we go back and we review what God has done, that can charge us up to anticipate what he's going to do and what he's doing right now. So we need to review his victories, and then also we need to refocus our vision. We need to refocus our vision. Our eyes need to be on God, not on ourselves, in order to see God's work. You see, when our eyes are on ourselves and what's going on in our lives, we can't see what's going on out there. We get blinded and our vision gets blurred by our focus on things that are going on in our lives. We're often more concerned about God's will for our life on an individual basis than we are about the will of God itself. God is busy. He's active. He's doing things, and he wants us to join him in what he's doing. So he wants us to see it. He doesn't want us to see it just for what we get out of it. He doesn't want us to see it just for what's going on in our lives, but what's going on, and he wants us to join him. Dr. Blackaby said, we need to determine what is the will of God and adjust our life to fit his will. We need to see what He's doing, and then we need to adjust our lives in order to fit His will. We need to refocus our vision. So that it's not on ourselves in our little area, but it's on what He's about. And look for what He's about. I mean, Jesus told His disciples how to pray. They asked Him, teach us how to pray, and He instructed him. And when He instructed him, you know the most important thing He said in that prayer? He said that to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Such that that our lives and life on this earth would be just as God has it in heaven. What a difference life would be in this life if His will was done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, we know that the will of God, that it's the will of God to love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. We know that. God's Word tells us that. We don't even have to go looking for that. It's right there for us to see. We also know that God desires for you to love your neighbor as yourself. We know that the Bible teaches it is God's will for us to give thanks in all things. No matter what's going on in our lives, He wants us to give thanks in all things. We also know that it's God's will that none would perish, but that all receive eternal life. People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to obey God in the areas that are already revealed, we increase the opportunities of seeing God at work. There is so much already revealed in God's Word that we don't even have to look for. It's just right there. We don't even have to pray about it. When we begin to do those things and we begin to be about those things, then we get our focus the way it needs to be so that we can be looking for what else He's about and what other things He's doing. So we need to anticipate divine activity. And secondly, we need to accept uncertainty. We need to accept uncertainty. In verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel." You know what's interesting? When you read that, if you pay close attention to those words, not only Jesus does what the Father is doing, but it also implies that He doesn't know when, where, or with whom the Father chooses to work next. He said, "I do nothing on my own, but I watch and I see what the Father is doing, and the Father reveals to me what's going on." So Jesus, as He limited his glory, He limited His divinity while He was in His human life here on earth, Jesus didn't know everything that was coming up. I believe that's one of the reasons why He spent much time in prayer with the Father. Jesus would go off and he would pray all night long, and then he would do some things. He's spending that time with the Father. He's in fellowship with the Father, and the Father's revealing to Him the things that He wants Him to do. Because Jesus even said it when we were talking about the end times and His return. He said, nobody knows when this thing is going to be. He says, not the Son, only the Father. So Jesus limited Himself, and so Jesus gives us even an example of looking to the Father for guidance and not knowing everything. In our humanity, we want to know everything, don't we? We want to know everything, but we need to learn to accept a certain amount of uncertainty. We need to accept uncertainty. I mean, Jesus, you think of the different times. Jesus was at a wedding. He went to a wedding, remember, with the disciples in John chapter 2. He went to a wedding Next thing he knows, his mother's bringing the people over to Jesus because they run out of wine, and Jesus ends up performing his first miracle at that wedding. Did he go there to do that? I don't know. It doesn't seem to indicate that. In fact, he tried to push it off. He says, "Why are you bothering with these things?" You know. But then he did it. It could be at a wedding with no wine. It could be a hungry multitude. that needed to be fed, a centurion that had a sick servant, or a friend who's been dead for four days. We need to accept uncertainty. And in order to do that, number one, we must be willing to accept change in worship. We need to be willing to accept change in worship. But what do I mean by that? We have a tendency to get stuck in ruts. And we spend our life building up those ruts. And we get used to those ruts. And then we come to think that that's the way life should be. Because those ruts are our experience. You know, too many times we act as if God must work in the rut that we've carved out over years, and often years of complacence. Or He can't work at all. If He doesn't work the way we're used to Him working, or the way we think that we've gotten this rut of Him working, that He can't work at all if He doesn't work that way. It's a difficult truth to embrace, but you know what? God does not always work like I or you would want Him to work. He even said in His Word, He said, look and see the new thing that I'm about to do among you. See the new thing that I'm going to do. Author and professor Leonard Sweet, he says this. He says, we miss God because we want planned lives instead of a prepared life that responds willingly and humbly to God's will. Did you hear me? We miss God because we want planned lives instead of a prepared life that responds willingly and humbly to God's will. We have our way that we think things should be, and we want life to go that way rather than being prepared for whatever God is going to bring our way. And it may be something totally different than we've ever experienced before. He may want us to go this way when we're used to going that way. So we must be willing to accept the change in worship in the way that we communicate with God, the way that we see God, the way that we view what's going on. We need to be willing to accept a change in worship. And then we must be prepared to sincerely learn worship. And what do I mean by that? Seeing God, it's not a goal that we achieve. We never get there. We never quite get there. It's not a fixed target, but it's an ongoing process that provokes our worship. Jesus sees the Father working, and He responds accordingly. We see Jesus at work, we see God at work, and we respond accordingly. That's what God wants us to do. And so we need to be prepared to really learn how to worship. Our response should be to obey at first sight. Not weigh out the possibilities to see if a better offer might come along when we're dealing with God. Well, seems like you want me to do that. Seems like you want this to happen. But what else you got? Let's see what other options you got. We treat God like he's a menu in a restaurant. Well, no, I don't like that. Well, that's pretty good. But last time I did that, that didn't taste too good. But that looks pretty good. Oh, Lord, let's do that. And we treat God that way. But God doesn't operate like a menu in a restaurant. God is at work, and He wants us to be paying attention, see what He's doing, and when He reveals what He's doing to us, that we adjust our lives and go and join Him and be a part of what He's doing, which means that things have to change in our lives. So we may have to give up some patterns. We may have to give up some things. There's always sacrifice involved. You see, the process or the journey that we end up traveling or going on when we seek to know God's will and we seek to follow Jesus may not be the path that we would choose. In fact, very often, it's not the path that we would choose. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Ginny Owens. Ginny Owens is a Christian singer and songwriter who really, in one of her songs, she captured the the whole concept of following God in a song that's entitled, If You Want Me To. If You Want Me To. When she sings these words, I'll walk through the valley if you want me to. Listen, those words aren't a simple metaphor or a rhyme that she put in that song. It's a bold declaration of her faith to see where God is working and follow Him there. And by the way, those lyrics take on a deeper significance when you realize that Ginny Owens is blind. And she's been blind since she was about 2 years old. Where's God working? He's working all around you, even now. What we need to do, each one of us, and I challenge you to do this, to ask God to open the eyes of your heart, that you can see Him and what He's doing, and then be willing to join Him.